The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello there, boys and girls, and welcome to another live episode of Circling the Bases, proudly a part of NBC Sports Edge. I am your host, Colin Henderson. Joining me today, as always, Mr. Christopher Crawford. Chris, my fantasy football team's currently slaying it, but we gotta throw roses on a grave for my fantasy baseball season. Officially, come Sunday, that was it. That was a bummer.
That sucks. That's the thing, is like, it comes to an end, and it always sucks when it comes to an end in baseball season because you have to put in so much work to be competitive. Yeah. That's the nice thing, I guess, about fantasy football is that, like, it's a lot of work. You have to do, like, your stuff, but at the same time, it's like one or two roster additions a week, you know?
So coming up on the show today, we are going to be talking closers, and we're going to be talking almost exclusively closers. Do we like it? No. Do we need to do it? Yes, because saves are still a category, and if you are in a saves category league, well, guess what? This is some of the hardest times of the year to go out and lock down that category. We're going to be talking not only – we're going to go division by division and not only talk about closers that you should target, but also closers that we're kind of fading from now to the end of the year – either based on schedule or recent performance. These are guys that are currently over-owned or rostered and maybe don't need to for the next fortnight. So let's get right to it. Let's start with the American League, and let's start with the AL West. I'm giving you the West rather than the East. Nice. I know that you were thinking I wasn't going to do it, but I did for you. And you're going to hear this name a couple times today, at least from my mouth. Let's start with Joe Barlow from the Texas Rangers, 25% rostered right now. Look, the Rangers are not a good team. They're going to have over 100 losses, no question about it. But we're not looking at the full season. We're looking at 2 weeks. So Joe Barlow has a 1.46 ERA on the season across 26 games. That's 24 and two-thirds innings. He has not given up a run in his last 7 appearances, has 4 saves since September 8th, and he closes out the season at Yankees, at Baltimore, home to the Angels, home to Cleveland. The Yankees might be a little bit tough there, but at Baltimore versus the Angels and versus Cleveland, I like him for at least a save opportunity in every one of those series, if not at least one, if not two. Joe Barlow could be a guy, again, excluding that Yankee series, he could be a guy who could get you 3-4 saves from now to the end of the year, and that could be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a person worth considering. The guy I'm going with, and it's kind of funny, last week we talked about Drew Steckenrider. This week I'm actually going to recommend a different Seattle Mariner reliever, and I'm going to go Paul Sewald. I just think Sewald is the guy who is most likely to get the majority of the save chances down the stretch right now. Pitched outstanding in his last game. Came in and cleaned up a mess, got a 5-out save. And even if he's not getting those saves, I do think that there's a chance that he's going to help you in other categories. He misses bats. He doesn't walk hitters. So he's going to help in that whip category. Seattle, you know, pretty much the playoff hopes are over. I think the last time I looked, it's like right around a 1% chance, mm-hmm. which is, you know, possible, but it's not going to happen.
It's up.
Exactly. And so that's the guy I would go with. I don't really see a ton of closers to fade here, to be completely honest. Another guy who I think is under-rostered, I wanted to call him Patrick Corbin for some reason, but Andrew Chafin mm-hmm. is getting a lot of save chances yep. for the A's. It's kind of matchup dependent, but another guy similar to Sewald where, you know, this is tough. There just aren't a lot of set it and forget it closers right now. People are playing matchups, but in those situations, I think the A's are definitely still in this thing, just barely, but still in this thing. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see Chaffin get a lot of save chances down the stretch, especially Sergio Romo really hasn't worked out in that closer spot as well as they would have liked. So yeah, those are the two. I don't see a lot of closers to fade here. If I was going to say, just be cognizant of the fact that all closers now, other than like the top three or four, are people you can consider not adding to your roster.
Sure. For me, I think the only one to fade, and I hate to disagree with you here, but is Paul Sewald. And the only reason why I say that, he's been pitching great, but like you said, I'm not sure I'm getting the saves from him. And that's my only question here. Has only one of the past five save opportunities for Seattle, which isn't ideal if I'm searching only for the SV. He's getting more high leverage situations, not always getting the ninth inning. That's the only part that I have with him where I'm kind of like, look, sure, if you're in a holds league and he can kind of get you a little bit of both, that's great. But if you're strictly looking for the save, you might want to look elsewhere just because there's a little bit they kind of will put him into the eighth inning or the seventh inning if they feel like that is the more important spot. Let's talk about the Central a little bit here. And I'm going to keep going with the Barlows. Scott Barlow for Kansas City, 54% rostered, has 14 saves on the year, and has converted 8 of his last 9 save opportunities. Since August 18th, so a little over a month, he's posted a 1.35 whip and a 14-4 K walk ratio across 13 and a third innings. He closes out the season at Cleveland, at Detroit, versus Cleveland, versus Minnesota. You like every one of those if you're talking about possibly getting a save opportunity against three teams, all of whom are below 500. Scott Barlow, a player to target, and is available in just shy of half of Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, Barlow was a guy that I considered. I'm just going to go simple. Like, you could go Liam Hendricks, but that's pretty obvious, and there's no way in heck he's available in your league. But I'm going Emmanuel Clase. Like, I don't love Cleveland's chances of winning a ton of games down the stretch, but they are, you know, going to play against some of the doldrums. A lot of the AL Central, and he's been so good this year. A 1.39 ERA, actually hasn't struck out as many hitters as I expected him to. Only struck out 68 hitters in 64 and two-thirds innings, which just tells you how crazy strikeouts are now, that a 9.5 strikeout rate is a borderline disappointing. But yeah, I like Class A a lot. An even better long-term play, I think. It's crazy that he's still only 23 years old. And the only guy I'd consider fading here is, like, if you're just desperate for saves, Alex Colome is not the worst roster decision. But I'd be really looking elsewhere just because, like, the Twins are not a very good baseball team right now, especially after all of the deadline moves. And they weren't all that great even before that. I just don't think he's going to give you a ton of chances down the stretch.
I agree with you there. I'm fading Colome as well. Minnesota is just – I was expecting them to kind of finish the season maybe a little bit strong, have a little pride on the line. It hasn't particularly played out that way. If you're telling me I could Michael Fulmer, who's 21% rostered, he's got his third save chance in his last four appearances – and he's got 6 games against Kansas City and Minnesota end the year. I said Barlow, 54% rostered. Colome, 64% rostered. I'd flip all of that around. If you told me to name the three, I'd take Colome third in that list. So I agree with you there. Sure. American League East, not a lot to really run around here. Kind of some pretty established closers. Look, I'm kind of surprised that he's still available in 1/5 of all leagues. And that's Jordan Romano. Yeah. Still available in 19% of leagues, which is criminal considering how good he's been. He's got Toronto's last 6 save opportunities, 19 for 20 in save chances on the year with 5 holds and a 7-1 record, a 2.33 ERA and 76-21 K-walk ratio across 58 innings. Those are all phenomenal numbers, and yet he is still being treated like the Blue Jays are a middling team, which they're not, or that he's not racking up elite ratios, which he is. He finishes the season at Tampa Bay, at Minnesota, versus the Yankees, versus Baltimore. You love Minnesota and Baltimore in those. That's 7 games right there. Tampa Bay and Yankees, again, Tampa Bay might be taking the foot off the gas pedal a little bit here now that they've all but locked up the American League East. I mean, Yankees will be fighting, but the Blue Jays have had the Yankees number for the most part this year. I like him in basically all of those matchups. He'll get a couple saves from now to the end of the year and could make a real difference.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that he was available in one-fifth of leagues as well. Like, I got it at the beginning of the year. There were some real question marks about who this closer spot was going to go to. And I do think if Julian Merriweather would have been healthy all year, maybe he keeps that role. But that's not what happened. So Montgomery is the guy I would roster. Aroldis Chapman scares the heck out of me. I wouldn't put him in the fade situation because he's going to get a lot of save chances, but he does scare me. I would just say the only thing I'm fading is I wouldn't touch any Boston relievers right
now. Yep, that's what I got down to.
Garrett Whitlock was the one guy that I thought was worth rostering, and now he's on the injured list, unfortunately. A guy we talked about in the keeper situation, a guy I really like for 2022, especially if he's in that starting role or if he was in that closer's role too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. Absolutely filthy stuff. But just stay away from him. There's too much guess as to who's going to get the save work, and nobody's pitching all that well either. And some tough matchups down the stretch. Not a lot of great ballparks going on. So I would just, if you're rostering a Boston reliever, I'd probably be looking elsewhere. And maybe a guy like Montgomery or who you mentioned, Fulmer and Barlow, make a little bit more sense right now.
I think that makes a ton more sense. Ottavino is currently right now, I guess, the guy that you'd look for in Boston. But like, that's a shoulder shrug. Like, that doesn't feel great at all. Plus, Matt Barnes has recently returned from the COVID IL. He could possibly retake that spot. Oof. In the closer role. But again, if we're talking about coulds and possiblys and maybes right now, there's 2 weeks left to the end of the year. I'd much rather bet my money on something that I feel is a lot more secure than really anyone in Boston. So the fantasy football season is here, as I'm sure all of you listening to this are aware. I mean, come on. But make sure you're signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus if you're playing fantasy football. Signing up for Edge Plus gets you access to our fantasy football, basketball, and hockey sections, in addition to our incredible baseball content. As a reward for our listeners, be sure to use the promo code BASES10 to get 10% off any premium subscription package, either monthly or annually, regardless of tier. So to find your edge, make sure you are signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. The promo code again is BASES10. And while you're at it, make sure you're listening to our fellow NBC Sports Edge podcast, A Good Football Show. It airs live on our YouTube and Twitch channels every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday afternoon. Get ahead of your league with the help of NBC's Patrick Doherty and crew. A very good show for those with an eye on a championship this year. Okay, so let's pop over to the National League. And Chris, to continue being less of an East Coast biased, I will start with the NL West with you again. Who are you targeting? Let's have you start off this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. The guy that I'm targeting is also the guy that I'm staying away from, which kind of just speaks to the closer situation here. It's Carlos
Stein. Good advice. I'm really glad. If you're listening at home, this is that kind of good advice that you're getting. Yeah. Both grab and don't grab. That's what we're talking about.
Again, and we talked about this last week, if you are desperate for saves, go get Carlos Estevez because he is the guy who's getting the save chances for them right now. Also have a big home stretch going on. And we talked about this. The Rockies are super good at home and they've got chances to win those games. That being said, if you are a person who kind of needs saves, but is also in that hunt for the ERA title and in the hunt for the WHIP title, don't get Carlos Estevez because he is just a blow up away from ruining everything.
That's totally
I'm sorry, Chuck Estevez, but you are there's a reason why you have not become an established reliever in these divisions. So yeah, I'm adding Carlos Estevez if I really need those saves and if I can take the hit of the blow up. Okay. But if there is any chance that I could lose a category from a guy giving up 5 runs in an inning or something like that, then don't add Carlos Estevez.
I think that's fair. And while I was making fun of you prior to that comment, I'm going to agree with you at the end of it, which I don't love doing.
Sure.
I have Carlos Estevez as well. Look, 18% rostered, so available in 4/5 of leagues. Right. Since the start of September, he has 6 saves and 7 chances with a win. Scoreless in his last 4 appearances, all of which were save opportunities. He's got the Dodgers and Giants to close out this week, which is not ideal. But next week, Washington and Arizona to finish out the season. Hold off a little bit longer. Again, you're not going to be fighting with people to go get Carlos Estevez. Right. So wait till the end of the week. Grab him for next week. Washington and Arizona to finish out the season. I could see at least 2 save opportunities in that 6-7 game stretch. I'm good with that.
Sure.
And while you might fade Estevez in a WHIP or ERA league because of the potential blow up, I'm just straight up fading Mark Melancon from now to the end of the year. Look, he's been phenomenal all year. A ERA under 2.5, 30 plus saves. Like, he's been great. But you know what's not great? The San Diego Padres right now. Yeah. They're real bad.
Sure.
Real bad. I don't have 42 minutes to get into whatever happened in that dugout between Machado and Tatis and what that says about everything else. But
sure.
For a team that is going to go down as probably one of the biggest disappointments in the entire baseball field, they're in full-blown collapse right now, lost 9 of their last 12.
Right.
Melancon, in that process, because he's a closer, has only appeared in 5 games in September, and his last 3 appearances have all been of the non-save variety. So he is just straight up not getting saves, and the schedule does not help him down the stretch. Versus San Francisco, at Atlanta, at the Dodgers, at San Francisco. There's nothing there. Nothing there that I want to be any part of. Melancon, 90% rostered. I'm good. Drop him. I'm totally good dropping him right now. If there's other closers out there that you need to go chase, go for it. Because I just don't see Melancon getting a whole lot of save opportunities. And even if he does, I think they're going to be few and far between.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you can maybe argue is that so all of those games at least should be close. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't see the San Diego Padres blowing anyone out. I also don't see – I hopefully don't see, because I like watching this team, them losing the next 13 games or something like that. But I would agree the fact there are not many people that you could say – are rostered in 90% of leagues that you can even debate dropping. Mm-hmm. I do think Melancon is that rare exception that, and it would be obviously just basically pitchers at this point or injured players at this point that are rostered that high that you could consider, but he's one.
Yeah. And again, I think this is a general spot as we take a brief pause in the action here. We're talking about 2 weeks left. If you're in a head-to-head league and, you know, maybe this is your finals right now. If you're in a season long, you're looking at the last 2 weeks. I know that there are a lot of players who got you here. Mm-hmm. They might not be the players to get you over the line. And I feel like that's a general rule that I find so many fantasy managers making that mistake, going out there and being like, well, I can't drop X because I wouldn't be here without X.
No.
I understand that. But you know what? You're not going to get to the promised land or the finish line if X is still on your team. Like, if you're still relying upon it at that certain point. Now, I'm not saying Melancon is, you know, he's not being a detriment to you. He's just not getting save opportunities. So
absolutely.
If I'm looking for saves and he's not getting me save opportunities and he has a horrendous schedule from now to the end of the year, you can drop. But I mean, you love what you got from a guy, but don't fall in love with someone so much that you're going to stumble in the last 2 weeks of the year after all the work that you've put in up till now. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're looking at your roster. And again, this is I'm not just talking closers. I'm talking your entire roster. If there's someone there that you've had all year and they're cold, ice cold right now, you don't need them. Go find somebody else that's hot and run it to the end of the year. Obviously, I'm only talking about redraft and not dynasty leagues, but I think you all knew that already. Absolutely. Let's hop over to the Central. And Chris, who are you targeting for saves in the Central?
Giovanni Gallegos. The St. Louis Cardinals are never going to lose another baseball game.
Apparently.
That is something. And he's getting all of the save chances right now. I mean, Alex Reyes had that role. He was okay at times. But I think he's better in that multi-inning role, like you kind of saw him use. I believe yesterday was one of those games where he pitched in that role. Like a solid pitcher, but Gallegos is getting the save chances. The Cardinals are playing extremely well right now. I'll talk to Ryan Boyer tomorrow about that devil magic. That the Cardinals have not lost a game since Drew Silva got married. That is something to keep in mind.
Facts are facts, man. Hashtag facts.
Facts are facts. And then the person I'm fading, Chris Stratton. I know that he's getting the save chances for the Pirates. Pirates are terrible. I cannot, and I have seen way too many Chris Stratton appearances to believe that this is a guy that I want with the game on the line and getting. I mean, look, the save stat is a dumb stat. The fact that we reward people for protecting a 3-run lead, it's something you're supposed to do. If you're not protecting that lead, you are bad at your job. But so like he could get some of those opportunities. But if you're thinking about adding Chris Stratton, I would strongly recommend that being your last case option as a closer. I know it's tempting that he's getting those chances right now, but I just don't see enough of those chances or enough strikeouts or a good enough whip for me to justify adding to my roster.
Could not agree with you more. I'm out on the Stratton world. Look, I know there are saves and there are closers, but it's kind of like being a running back on a really bad team. You're like,
sure,
you're going to get the most carries, but like, are those carries going to do anything with it? Like, you better fall into the end zone. And the fall into the end zone is happen to have a 3-run lead and get through it. You know what I mean? Like, that's basically what that version is. So I'm with you on that. I don't want any part of that. I'm also fading Rowan Wick. He is now going to be, I mean, he's basically taken over the closer role in Chicago. He has 4 of the Cubs' past 7 successful save conversions, but he was yanked in September 19th. And his ERA in the past 9 appearances is 5.56. He has only 3 saves this month and 7 games remaining against those red hot Cardinals. I don't know how many of those games that the Cubs are going to be in it. And if you're talking 7 of the last, 13 to 12 games are going to be against the Cardinals, no, thank you. I'm okay with that. I'm also targeting Giovanni Gallegos, 73% rostered. So he is still available in a quarter of leagues. That is important. Right. Like you said, Cards just unbeatable right now, 11-1 in the last 12 games. Gallegos has 6 saves over that span. That's the most in Major League Baseball. He's tied with Hader and Jordan Romano for the most saves in the last 30 days with 8. And they close out the season at Milwaukee, at Chicago, versus Milwaukee, versus Chicago. Again, Milwaukee has this division all but wrapped up. So, again, I see them potentially taking their foot off the gas pedal a little bit, and the Cubs are just bad. So I'll take that right now. Quick shout out because, I mean, Gallegos had to be the guy, but honorary mention to Michael Givens. For Cincinnati, 30% rostered. He has 8 saves in 9 tries for the Reds since coming over in July. 5 games versus Pittsburgh, 4 games versus Washington until the season's end. I like him in those spots. He could be a sneaky guy. Again, available in 70% of leagues. He could be a guy who can go out there and help you get some saves.
Absolutely.
All right, let's flip over to the East here and start us off. Who you targeting?
Okay, so this one was a little weird because there are no closers that I really super trust in this division, and there are no closers that I completely hate. I guess I'm going to get Ian Kennedy just because the Phillies are playing for their lives. I do think he's going to get all of those save chances. I worry every time that he's on the mound. When he was a member of Kansas City, I did the same thing just because – he doesn't have elite stuff. You are relying on, you know, a quality defense behind him. He's not like immune to missing bats, but it's not anywhere close to that elite level. But if Ian Kennedy's still available, I guess go get him. And the only guy I'm fading right now is the Marlins are bad. So I just can't roster Dylan Floro right now. It's too hard to justify having him as my closer, knowing that there are options like a Carlos Estevez, who we just talked and gave praise and also did, you know what, too. So just a weird situation there. But yeah, Dylan Floro, I kind of like him long-term, a guy maybe that I'm targeting next year because I think the Marlins are going to be much, much better with a healthier roster. But I just can't trust him for the rest of 2021.
Trust is a heavy word, but I am going to target Dylan Floro only because, again, available in over half of leagues, 45% rostered. Has only blown one save since August 15th. So over a month, he's only blown one save, has 7 saves in the last 30 days. That is just one behind the leaders of Romano, Hader, and Gallegos. So he's getting opportunities. The Marlins are bad, but you know what? They're not good enough to ever blow teams away.
Sure.
So you know what? If they do win, it's going to be close. They go up against Washington, at Tampa Bay, at the Mets, versus Philadelphia to close out the season. Tampa Bay is not great in there, but the other ones are still doable. The NL East is not particularly great, and the Marlins could get scrappy. Again, it's not ideal, but he is, for someone who is available in 55% of leagues, who has the role locked up, he's going to get all of the run till the end of the year. I'm fine if you want to roster him. Just know that you might not have a lot of save opportunities, although the save opportunities that do occur, he will get them. I'm fading Edwin Diaz. Look, I know that in a general sense, he's a good pitcher. He is 94% rostered, but it's wrong if he's 94% rostered. I know that that's like, it needs to happen, but it's just inherently wrong based on how poor he's pitched. He has a 5.14 ERA this month. He's 3-2 in his 5 save chances this month. And he ends the season at Boston, at Milwaukee, versus Miami, at Atlanta. I don't love it. I really don't. And you know what? If you're telling me that I have that I'm looking at Edwin Diaz and trying to say, okay, I know that he is 2 years removed from a 40-plus save season. I know that he's on the Mets that still have a good enough roster that should still get wins. But he hasn't pitched well. I mean, he's getting the opportunities and he isn't pitching well. I don't feel confident starting Edwin Diaz in any way, shape, or form in my roster right now. And if I don't feel comfortable right now, I don't know what the next 2 weeks is going to suddenly change that.
So, Colin, I want you to say it right now. Would you rather have Dylan Floro than Edwin Diaz on your fantasy roster?
For rest of season? Rest of season? Who gets – is the question, who gets more saves from now to the end of the year? Is that the question?
Yeah, you do have to add in other stats, but if you just want to go by who gets the more saves, I can rock with that too.
I'm going to take Floro over it. I don't love it. I feel queasy inside as I say it. I've watched Edwin Diaz blow like 3 games this month. I don't feel good about it at all. At least Floro's pitching well. He might not get the opportunities, but he's at least pitching well. Diaz, again, an ERA north of 5 this month. And I know a couple people who have cursed his name on the Twitter webs because of how much he has just been screwing them this late in the season.
I think that there is a little bit of the market that he plays in that kind of overstates how
no
bad
question. And I live in it, so I'm very in tuned with the speaker that comes out from it.
Yeah, I will say, like, he's not certainly not a perfect option. I can justify, like, you know, if I don't believe that they are going to be in contention. And like you said, that schedule that you mentioned, like there are 1, 2, 3 playoff teams that they're going to be playing against. And then the Marlins, I still like it. The only thing that I guess would kind of concern me is maybe the Mets, if they decide that they're out of contention, Edwin Diaz has been used a lot this year. So maybe they looked at other options to see just to keep him fresh.
Kick the tires. A little bit.
And the Mets are just, I mean, their playoff odds have to be extremely low right now. 4 games under 500 and no real chance to make up that much ground until the last 3 games against Atlanta. But Dylan Floro over Edwin Diaz. Oh, that's interesting.
Look, some of us live bold, okay? Yeah. Isn't that the – what beer is that? Live bold? Some of us live bold, all right?
Okay, all right.
Well, I love the
confidence. It's just it's definitely freezing cold takes. If you're listening to this, just know that I'm not the one who said it.
Yeah. All right. You backing the guy who's 94% rostered. I get it. Yeah, some of us try to help the people out on the spot.
I appreciate it.
All right. So Chris, if I'm in a holds league, is there anybody else that we have not mentioned that you might be looking at just as someone who might be able to help out down the stretch that maybe we're not paying attention enough to?
Well, like you mentioned, that Paul Sewald is the holds master right now. Another guy for the Mariners, and I struggle to pronounce this guy's name every time. Anthony Misiewicz has like 18 holds and is pitching a lot for the Mariners, a guy that I'm taking a look at. Anybody really on the Dodgers right now, their relievers are worth considering for hold type stuff because – they are going to be the bridge to Kenley Jansen, and the Dodgers are just the team that I trust the most to win games right now. There's probably some options on the Rays that I'm not thinking of right now that are good options. That's such a tough situation because you want to talk about a carousel of relievers, and that's just, you know, like it's just really tough to predict, but maybe a JT Chabot guy.
Cash special of just shooting from the hip every single night.
Exactly. It does seem kind of like they're throwing at darts when they pick who's going to be the closer. But yeah, hold leagues are weird. I kind of get it because it does give you an added roster flexibility and more people to consider. But it's also such a weird stat because like you can go in and again, this is why the save stat to me is such a flawed stat, especially for determining a player's contract. It's ridiculous that's brought up in arbitration. But It's like you can come in a 6-3 game and give up a 2-run homer and you can get credited with something. That just doesn't really sit all that well with me, but you know, it does add at least to the people that you can consider. And with as many injuries as we have had these last couple of years, I guess adding the fact players to the pool isn't the worst thing.
It's not the worst. And again, you know, if it finds a way of making relievers fantasy baseball relevant, I'm all for it.
It's not
again,
the worst. That's right. It's not the worst. Title. Yeah.
That's on our movie poster. Just not the worst, man.
Yeah.
It's viewable. But I will say I and you and I will have a couple conversations from now to the end of the year, kind of in a general state of baseball, or especially in the fantasy baseball world, how important are saves? How can we maybe update? The game is changing. How can we potentially update fantasy baseball to change with it? Stay tuned for that in the upcoming weeks. We're going to talk about that more once the fantasy baseball season is done. Shouts to a couple other relievers in terms of a hold scenario. Now that Jake McGee is hit the IL and might not really be back before the end of the regular season, you can take a peek at the two guys who will be basically filling in for him on that spot. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a rotation, but Tyler Rogers and Dominic Leone, both of those guys should have multiple opportunities, not only for saves, but also for holds. I'm not sure which one's going to land where. I think it might be very much a committee, but either one of them should get you. If you work in a holds league and a holds plus saves league, either one of those two should be able to get you multiple options from now to the end of the year. And also just another quick shout out to, as we talk about the White Sox, I know Craig Kimbrell is rostered in a lot of leagues. I know he's been dropped in a bunch because of this, now that he's not getting saves. But with the White Sox having that division all but clinched up, I'm not sure if it's official yet, but I'm pretty sure that they'll win it. They could take a little bit of the onus off Liam Hendricks and possibly give Craig Kimbrell a little bit more of a couple save opportunities here, just to kind of maybe freshen him up for more high leverage situations come October. The White Sox have a cakewalk of a schedule from now to the end of the year. So if he has been dropped at all in your league, he might be someone to go grab. Also, Kyle Funkhauser, A, one of my favorite names in baseball, and two, he's been pitching really well, and when Michael Fulmer's not getting the opportunities, Kyle Funkhauser has been. Again, it's the Tigers. It's not exactly the most ideal scenario, but we went through that Tigers remaining schedule, which is, I mean, at Cleveland, at Cleveland versus Kansas City, and versus Minnesota. So like they're playing the AL Central. You like that a lot. I think he's going to have plenty of opportunities. So just a couple more names out there. If you're looking for Rays, and again, I don't know why, but they exist. Peter Fairbanks and David Robertson coming back. Like both of those guys should be in the line to potentially get some stuff at the back end. I don't feel confident about either of them though. The Rays will obviously get wins, but they're not always close, and even if they do, I'm not sure who comes in and gets those opportunities.
That's a good point. I will say this, though, about Dominic Leone starting a lot of games lately. So, unfortunately, they can help in the rights type stuff, but because he has been pitching as the opener in quite a few of these bullpen games, and it doesn't seem like that's going to go away, just something to be aware of. So that would be – and Tyler Rogers is probably going to get more of those save chances. Tyler Matzik and Luke Jackson of Atlanta, both excellent options if you're looking for those hold things. And I would say AJ Minter as well. Only thing with AJ Minter is that you're not going to get a ton of innings, even in this this day and age where you, with the three batter rule, it seems like AJ Minter is getting an awful lot of 1/3 appearances, even still coming in to get that final out. But yeah, it's an interesting stat to look at. I hope that someday I never have to look at it again.
You and me both. Also, just quick shouts to anybody who out there, anybody out there who has Chad Green available as well. He's rostered in only 40% of leagues. It's one of the highest WARs in baseball from a reliever, and he's not a closer. If Chapman is at all shaky from now to the end of the year, obviously the Yankees are in dire win-now mode. I could potentially see Chad Green maybe getting a couple save opportunities if they feel like they need to rely on someone to get three outs and Chapman doesn't seem to have the strike zone. Just keep an eye on Chad Green. He might be, especially the way that Aaron Boone has been pitching him, they almost assuredly don't put Aroldis Chapman in back-to-back games. So if Chapman does get a save, add Chad Green the next day. He might be the guy to come in and steal a save from Chapman.
Makes sense.
That's our show for today. If you like what you're hearing, please make sure you're subscribed to Circling the Bases wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to rate and review us. 5 stars are always appreciated. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Don't Lie, and you can follow Chris at Crawford_MILB. Be sure to tune back in tomorrow as Chris invites NBC Sports Edge's Ryan Boyer onto the pod to rave about the Cardinals and a bunch of other shenanigans, so make sure you don't miss it. So until next time, stay safe out there, and as always, thanks for listening.
I wouldn't trust Dominic Smith in a hold situation.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.